July is National Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, and Wisconsin has something in common with pretty much every other state in having troubling disparities in mental health treatment for people of color. A group of Wisconsin health research organizations called Healthy Metric released a report last month identifying many of those disparities around the state and found that Black adults had the highest rate of screening for clinical depression but don't always have the same access to mental health care. Last year, the rate of suicide among Black residents of Milwaukee County hit a 10-year high, and health groups and community leaders across the state are working toward reducing barriers to proper diagnosis and treatment. Our next guest is here to help us better understand why these disparities exist and what we can do to try and overcome them. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think causes these racial disparities in mental health? Do you have ideas to try and solve some of these issues? If you're a person of color, I'd love to hear about your experiences with mental health care. And whoever you are, if you're in a part of the state where you've had trouble accessing care, love to hear from you as well. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Keddie Thertis is an associate clinical professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health and a psychiatric consultant at UW Health Pain Management Clinic. Dr. Thertis, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, thank you for having me.
When we talk about disparities in mental health care for people of color, can you give us a sense of what that looks like, how that actually works in practice for people here in Wisconsin?
Yes. So Wisconsin, if you look across the board compared to the rest of the nation, there are some concerning aspects in terms of disparity that are worse for people of color in the state compared to the rest of the states. There are some things that might be better based on access to insurance on recent reports and the expansion of Medicaid. But in general, across the board, there's higher rates of less access to healthcare and a significant impact from the societal and psychological structures that stem from racism.
Can you talk a little bit about access to treatment and what we see around the state when it comes to sheer, like if somebody recommends you get healthcare, mental health care, I should say, is it there for you?
Yeah, so interestingly, if you look at everyone across the board, most adults have challenges navigating just understanding the insurance structure and how to find care. And since COVID-19, the access to care has been exacerbated across the board as well. Prior to COVID-19, there are a lot of limitations, and the need has expanded since then in terms of higher rates of depression and anxiety. And it seems like in underserved communities, we're seeing even higher rates among Black people of depression, or screening for depression at least. And so this is going to have a direct impact on the ability to navigate care. Even when you're struggling with your good health, you can have access issues that can stem from your own mental illness, and that can make it a lot more difficult. Right now in Wisconsin, the Parity Act was helpful in expanding Medicaid, but that doesn't always line up with the availability of clinicians. It doesn't always line up with the availability of people who look like you in access to care. And ideally, you'd have a clinician with a similar background. This is not always feasible, mm-hmm. but this would improve diagnostic assessment and engagement in care in a culturally informed way.
I wanted to ask about that. I'm sorry. I wanted to dig into that in particular, Dr. Thertis. What can we do to have a wider variety of people entering into to becoming practitioners so that people have that option if they need it?
I think there's a good, strong movement towards awareness in Black and Brown communities for the importance of mental health. It's even changed since I first started in school and in training. The amount of awareness has expanded, and it's seen also in social media, which can have a positive and negative impact. But I think stemming from the clinical standpoint of having policy that it improves the pipeline of clinicians from minoritized communities and communities of color into college, into medical school, into psychological programming, and also to think about restructuring healthcare in a way that opens up avenues for wellness beyond just the clinic setting and the academic setting and into the community, where there's more opportunities for community empowerment and redefining wellness efforts beyond just the clinic.
We're talking to Dr. Ketty Therides, Associate Clinical Professor in the Department of Psychiatry at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, and a psychiatric consultant at UW Health Pain Management Clinic, looking at mental health care disparities here in Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions, maybe your experiences, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Therides, can you talk about what that might look like, mental health care not just being in a clinical setting, in the psychiatrist's office, in the community? What could that look like?
So there's been a lot of work about looking at peer providers, people who can function to help people navigate mental health, mental wellness, basics of being mentally attuned to what could be preventative care rather than reactive care. If you look at the medical model, it can function in a very reactive manner where we deal with a problem after it's manifested. But looking at community efforts to engage people in education and awareness about what could look like the early signs of being unwell, deconstructing what unwellness means in the Black community, especially. There's a impetus to be seen as strong, and that if there's any mental health condition, you can have a sense of weakness. If you're religiously based, it could lead to a sense of feeling like you're not believing enough in God or losing faith in religion and God. And so it can be really destabilizing force to reckon with when you feel like you could have mental health issues, but also even understanding what that looks like and how early care and understanding could decrease a lot of distress, and opening up to others in ways that are supported in other areas of life, such as churches. There's really interesting work in Wisconsin by different groups who deal with having mental health care and medical care access in a way to reach people in a barbershop. There's young women's groups and camps. There is engagement by people to build understanding through a way to avoid going to the ER when you're in mental health crisis, and perhaps seeking out a more welcoming space in the community related to the church. So there's really a lot of opportunities, and that's happening in Wisconsin right now, to help that process along, to decrease that stigma, improve access.
That's interesting. I've talked to people who have done similar projects in rural or small town Wisconsin, trying to overcome the attitude that, you know, hey, we're self-reliant, we don't need mental health care, and actually peer support. People have been through it themselves, reaching out to other people and saying, hey, it's not bad. There's not a stigma if you seek mental care. Are there things like that you've seen working with people of color with peer support?
Yes, I think there's a better connection to be had when it's coming from someone who's been through what you've been through, both in just understanding of what you could be looking at in yourself. How has someone arisen above the issue? How did they learn about their issue in the first place? How to navigate when you should look to a physician or a clinician or a therapist, or to other avenues of wellness that help improve your sense of self-agency, which is an aspect of depression care too, in terms of behavioral activation. So I think that's in a way better, you know, better swallowed by people who may be afraid due to significant real history we have to reckon with in terms of medicine and disparities and racialized approaches to care that were based on erroneous biological ideas of race that led to stereotypes and bled into physicians and clinicians' ideas of particular people's races and their characteristics. If it's coming from someone from your community or from a faith leader or from somebody who's been through what you've been through and can meet you at your level and where you're at, you can see better outcomes. And there's work that's being done here to help facilitate that community support in terms of education and classwork even at UW.
We're talking to UW Health psychiatrist Dr. Ketty Therides about mental health disparities in Wisconsin facing people of color. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. How can we make access to mental health care, to screenings, more equitable? Have you been involved in a peer support type program in your community, wherever you are in the state? What questions do you have for our guest? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Dr. Ketty Therdis, Associate Clinical Professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health and a psychiatric consultant at UW Health Pain Management Clinic. She's with us today to talk about some of the causes of and potential solutions for mental health disparities facing people of color in Wisconsin and around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about access to mental health care? Do you think we're doing enough to screen for mental health concerns? If you work in the health profession, do you see enough screenings, enough access to services out there? Join in with your experiences or your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Therdis, I know some of your own work involves emergency rooms. And when someone comes in with a mental health emergency or a physical health problem, for that matter, maybe related to a mental health concern, helping connect them with services, not just treating the physical injury. What kind of things are you hoping to see?
So historically, Black people enter mental health care more frequently through emergency and involuntary ways than the general population. So this is an aspect that's near and dear to my heart, working in the emergency room, having to navigate someone who's coming in crisis, who may or may not have an awareness of what's going on. In an emergency room that can be loud and destabilizing and scary, with potentially law enforcement involvement, and law enforcement involvement may relate to also involuntary admissions. And typically, as a psychiatrist, you don't want to see someone in a hospital unless they absolutely need to be. The goal is always to promote wellness in the community. But at times, some people need treatment and some people might not understand it. Historically, law enforcement have the power to bring people and commit people against their will. In Wisconsin, there has been movement recently, in Dane County at least, to have less of a police presence involved in mental health crisis responses in the community. When someone calls for help, having an alternative to police and having clinicians who are mentally health trained for crisis management who are not police officers, who can have a more holistic and less intimidating approach to someone in crisis, and to avoid some of the fears that can happen when a police presence is involved. So I think there is good movement towards that. I think it stemmed a lot from understanding the history and understanding the needs of people, and also to have work that's trauma informed as well, given that there is a higher chance of having trauma and trauma responses in the Black community, particularly in underserved areas.
Going from emergency rooms to primary care, I know there have been some efforts to boost screenings, not just for people of color, but across the board for depression and other mental health concerns. Is that something you see as a positive step?
I definitely see it as a positive step. I think a lot of work has been done for improving access to care outside of a psychiatric clinic and embedding it into a medical clinic, where people might feel more comfortable reviewing their care from a holistic approach when their primary doctor is attentive to both their mind and their body, and being able to practice in a way where you're looking at the physical symptoms, but having attention to the mental health aspects of it, the role that the depression can play in the presentation of medical illness, and having access to what is, has been built as collaborative care models, where there are mental health clinicians that help to support and discuss cases with primary care doctors to provide psychiatric and behavioral health treatment recommendations, whether that's diagnostic assessment, whether that's medication recommendations, or whether that's therapy recommendations to improve health outcomes and have people have access to care in a way that they don't necessarily have to get to the psychiatric clinic, because we do have to be aware that while we'd like to have more psychiatrists, that's not the case both nationally and globally. more psychologists. That's not the case both nationally and globally. And if you look at the breakdown of even Black psychiatrists and psychologists, the percentage of Black psychiatrists is not representative of the population. And that's the same for psychologists as well.
Talking to Dr. Ketty Thurtist with the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at mental health disparities in the United States, here in Wisconsin in particular. Dr. Thurtist, getting back to the issue you just raised again, the idea of having more people of color as practitioners themselves. People might think, well, why does that really matter? If somebody's trained, if somebody is skilled in dealing with mental health problems, it shouldn't matter. Why does it matter?
It's very important historically. It doesn't always matter. And sometimes you have to have the reality of who you're doing, and you can connect with people even if there's differences. But in general, the more informed someone is of someone's background, of their cultural leanings, of their religious leanings, the more informed you can be about how they're navigating their world. And so it avoids overdiagnosis. There's an excellent example of what misdiagnosis can look like. In Michigan, Black protesters in the civil rights era were overdiagnosed with schizophrenia because they felt like their concerns about racism and the structure of racism and its impact were delusional. And so Black patients were overdiagnosed with schizophrenia in the 60s. And this was stemming from a lack of understanding, a lack of awareness, potentially intentional disregard for the experience of Black people. And so it'd be interesting to know if there were Black physicians available at that time or clinicians, would that lead to decreased diagnosis? That's for certain, because there's certain experiences that can be accessed by a culturally informed clinician. So it's not to say that someone has to have someone that looks like them. The reality is that's not going to be the case, but it could go a long way of improving the numbers to have that access be even available for those who would want that or who could benefit from that.
How about deeper structural problems? It's hard as it is to maybe train up a new generation of practitioners and supply more access to care. An even deeper problem might be longer-term structural problems that might lead to some of these problems in the first place. How big a factor are those?
So if you look at what does health and wellness require, and it's multiple issues, it's multiple points of intervention, starting with the nature versus nurture approach to care and to how people can flourish, you know, how much of it is your disposition, how much of it is your upbringing. It's always a complex interplay of both. But if you look at what we use in psychiatry as a biological, psychological, social, and existential formulation of care, looking at biology that looks at the systems and the access to clean food, clean water, clean air, clean communities, safe communities, access to resources, so employment, jobs, equal pay, a sense of existential belonging.
Thanks for calling Central Time. Can I get
you? Sorry, we had a wire cross there, Dr. Thurtist. Sorry about that interruption there. I wanted to ask about, we hear these reports about disparities in things like mental health care among races, I think again and again over time. Do you have a sense that there is a sense of urgency to solve this problem among your colleagues in the health profession and beyond?
Yes, I've definitely noticed a sense of urgency. I think there's been an enhanced sense of urgency in the last few years between the pandemic and the, I guess, racial reckoning that's happened in America. Within my department, I see a lot of effort. And amongst my colleagues, there's also a lot of talk about what we as Black clinicians can do. So I think there's a good energy. I think the work can be challenging because there's so much and so much to be looked at and so much to be fixed. But I think if we focus on our communities and our strengths, and also to respect despite the disparities, that there is an inherent strength to minoritized communities, what has been overcome, and the particular positive aspects of cultures that can promote wellness despite the odds has to be respected and used in our care.
And just in our last minute, Dr. Thertis, we're talking about people of color with mental health concerns. How important, when we're finding solutions to these disparities, is it to make sure we include people of color with mental health problems in finding those solutions?
I think is absolutely essential. And that's particular work I'm interested in and would like to move into. I think it's important to fund Black clinicians to do the research and to do the work. I think it's important to engage the community and give a sense of both clinical and civic engagement, a sense of meaningfulness to the work as well, so that despite all the work that has to be done, both clinicians and the population have a sense of agency and support.
Dr. Thertis, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you for having me.
That's Dr. Ketty Thertis, Associate Clinical Professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health and a psychiatric consultant at UW Health Pain Management Clinic. She was with us today to explore disparities in mental health treatment for people of color in Wisconsin and discuss some potential solutions.